Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests on Blog Talk Radio as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no-whining world of January Jones.
Let me ask you a question. Have you ever met someone who is a neurohumorist? Yeah, it's a new word for me, isn't it? Neurohumorist. Tell me, would you like to learn more about the difference between humor and applied humor? Have you ever wondered how many kinds of humor there are? That's an interesting thought. I know about slapstick. Can you imagine people who simply aren't funny? Hard for me to imagine, but I understand that they're out there. Tell me, do you remember all the times that humor got you through some tough times? And when was the last time you heard about a book called What's So Funny About Heart Disease? Or better yet, would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers that we're looking for? Now, are you ready to learn about humor? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place, and I would like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I will be introducing you to my guest, who is a success coach extraordinaire. She will provide us with wonderful, informative, and inspirational lessons and some really, really great advice. I am pleased to announce that our show today is featured on the front page at blogtalkradio.com as a staff pick. I am honored to be a featured host, and we now have over 1 million wonderful listeners. Also, LinkedIn recently announced that my profile was one of the top 5% most viewed during 2012. So thank you to all of you who viewed me. Now let me tell you about my guest today. She is an international speaker, neurohumorist, nurse, and author of What's So Funny About Heart Disease, What's So Funny About Diabetes, and What's So Funny About Nursing. While her classmates were dissecting frogs, she was dissecting humor. Now a highly sought expert in mind-body medicine, she's spoken to thousands of people around the globe. She is a past president of AATH, Association of Applied Therapeutic Humor, as well as the recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award. She is the co-founder of World Laughter Tour, teaching people how to laugh for no reason. Her mission in life is to improve global health through laughter and to heal the humor impaired. It is my great pleasure to welcome to the show today Karen Buxman. Hi, Karen. How are you doing today?
Hey, January. I tell you what, it's a little early here where I am, but I promise not to whine because we're in a no-whine zone.
There will be absolutely no whining here whatsoever. You know the drill. You know the drill.
I know the drill. I only take my wine if it's red and with a little cheese on the side.
You're my kind of girl. Okay. So let's talk about the word neurohumorous. That's a new word for me, and I'm sure many of my listeners have never heard it before. How do you tell us, what is a neurohumorous?
It is a new word. It's because I created that word. Okay. I wanted one to describe just exactly a little more succinctly what it is that I do and what sets me apart. Because, you know, if you say you're a humorist, people think, oh, you're funny. And yeah. So many people don't understand the word psychoneuroimmunology, although your listeners may be a little more educated about that. But my life's work over the last 20-plus years, it has been studying the neurobiology and the psychology of humor. And that can get, if you've ever talked to scientists, folks like Lee Burke and the others who are just really immersed in the field, sometimes that's a little difficult to really understand what that means. And so what I do then is translate that into terms that the lay person can understand and then show them how they can harness the benefits of humor and how they can use specifically applied and therapeutic humor to heal and empower themselves.
Mm-hmm. And now, what are the difference between humor and applied humor? I know you, the former president of AATH, a fantastic organization that we'll be telling our listeners about later in the show. And humor and applied humor, what's the difference?
Humor in and of itself is entertainment. And we love entertainment. There's nothing wrong with entertainment, and it's got lots of benefits. It makes people feel good. And even when someone enjoys humor just vicariously or by accident, they still get some benefits. Mm-hmm. But applied humor is humor that's used strategically and intentionally. Mm-hmm. And when we throw in the word therapeutic, then we're also talking about the intention of helping someone to be healthier. But I stumbled upon something over the course of my research of the last couple of decades, and that is that the real power of humor, and humor is power, but the real power of humor is when you connect it, when you apply it to something. If you apply humor to business, I talk to business professionals around the world and show them how they can transform business and become more profitable. When you apply it to education, you increase knowledge. When you apply it to health, we can create wellness. When you apply humor to another individual, we can create intimacy. And when you apply humor to a group, we can create a community. You know, even so far as to say when you apply humor to spirituality, you can enhance your enlightenment and your experience. So it's the process of being intentional and really milking those benefits that we can get and that you and I will be talking about shortly, so mm-hmm. that people don't just stumble upon it by chance and get some benefits. They make it happen by choice, and then they really get some amazing life-changing results.
Oh, yeah. Very powerful stuff here. And there are different kinds of humor, and this is interesting because I think, you know, people think humor is humor, but you have good-natured humor, sarcastic, practical, dark humor, as I said earlier, slapstick, self-deprecating.
Right.
I mean, there are more kinds of humor than one can imagine, and you have to know when to use the right kind of humor, don't you?
Right, because when we tell people, you know, go forth and use more humor, you know, and they jump in very enthusiastically, but some of them don't, again, be intentional about it. And what you and I know and promote is that kind of humor that builds people up, that makes them feel good, that makes them feel part of a group. And there are, you know, there's positive, constructive humor that makes people feel good. There's negative, destructive humor that feels bad. And then there's a lot of humor that I think falls in what I call the gray zone. And that really has a lot to do, again, with what's the intention. You know, for instance, sarcasm. I love sarcasm. And, you know, some of my closest friends, we use a lot of sarcasm among ourselves. However, the root word of sarcasm comes from a word that means to tear the flesh. And if you've ever been hit with a piece of sarcasm from someone that you really didn't know, you realize it can be very painful. You know, I come from the healthcare profession and a kind of humor that's used there and in other areas where people are exposed to tragedy and death is the dark humors, the gallows humor, the sick humor. Nurses find body fluids, death, and dismemberment very hysterical. But try talking about that over the dinner table with a new couple that you're meeting for the first time. You know, it's kind of a turnoff. So you have to know when is the appropriate time and who are the appropriate people and where is the appropriate place. And in my presentations and coaching, these are some of the things that we talk about. But there is a time and a place. And if you're not sure, then you can use something that's much safer, like self-deprecating humor, humor that is poking fun at yourself, because you know that will actually make people feel safer. It shows that you have a little bit of vulnerability. It's a great sign of a leader. Humor is a wonderful sign and trait of leadership. And we look at our leaders in organizations or businesses or even our country and our politicians, and we see that nowadays they want the public to perceive that they have a sense of humor. Good grief, absolutely. During the elections, you know, we see our politicians knocking one another over to be the first one on Jay Leno or Saturday Night Live or David Letterman. But, you know, these various types, again, it's using mindfulness when you're using humor so that you're using a humor that is appreciated with the person that you're with but isn't going to hurt or make the others around you feel bad.
Yeah, you don't want them to feel uncomfortable with any kind of humor. You know, we're going to take a break right now, Karen, and share some information about the organization that we both support. When we come back, we are going to share your website information and share with our listeners how they can get your books. We'll be right back with Karen Buxman.
What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play, and well-being. Provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Welcome back with the past president of AATH. Karen, could you share your website information? And I wanted to talk a little bit about your books and also about the convention this week.
Oh, great. Well, yes, I would love for your listeners to come check out the website because there's a plethora of information there that is both humorous and educational regarding humor and how it can be helpful. And my website is Karen Buxman, and that's Karen with a Y, K-A-R-Y-N. I used to complain about that when I was a child, but now I kind of like it. K-A-R-Y-N, Buxman, and that's B as in boy, U-X, M as in Mary, A-N as in Nancy, KarenBuxman.com. And there's information on there. There's a section called What's So Funny About? And that actually leads into this next topic, which is the book series that I started about a year ago. And that actually was that had been on my parking lot, so to speak, of activities to do for a couple of years now. And then because of the organization, the Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor, I was partaking in a special opportunity that has just arisen over the last 3 years where we can really go in-depth into the study of humor. There's a new division called the Humor Academy where It's a three-year immersion process, and the first year is about the theory of applied and therapeutic humor. The second year is where you take a project and you actually apply humor in some way, whether it's the production of some kind of a product, or it's, you know, working on a cause, or working in creating some kind of a program. And you get to pick, and you work with advisors on that. And then the third year is a year-long program on humor and leadership. Mm-hmm. And during the year of projects, I had a client say, you know, do you have any information about humor and chronic illness? And mm-hmm. after a pause, I said, sure I do.
You betcha.
You know, and I looked into it, and wow, I found a field that was just so hungry for this kind of information. And so because of the huge number, the large population of persons with diabetes, it seemed like a logical place to start. In the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
right now, 1 in 10 persons is diabetic. And so, and that number by 2050 is projected to be as high as 1 in 3.
Wow.
And there are so many of our studies right now that show some very wonderful health benefits for those who are diabetic and pre-diabetic, including lowering blood glucose and lowering the chemicals that harm kidneys, and reducing bad cholesterol and stress hormones. And so I did research, and I put forth the first book, What's So Funny About Diabetes, which some people thought was a joke book. And so the title, it can be a little misleading, but I had a radio interviewer going, okay, so we're going to have 30 minutes of jokes on diabetes. I said, no. You know, this is how can humor help, you or the person you love, or the person you're a cheerleader for who has diabetes. And then the next book, which was requested by a group, the Go Red for Women, and they are affiliated with the American Heart Association.
Right.
I wrote What's So Funny About Heart Disease, which is the number one killer of both men and women in the United States. Dr. Michael Miller wrote the foreword for that out of Baltimore. He's done some amazing research on the effect of humor in the cardiovascular system. And you know, what I didn't even realize, and I've been a nurse for, I don't even want to tell your listeners how long, because I started when I was a child, but it's that when we get stressed, we develop inflammation, but that inflammation is even at a cellular level. And one of the things that our body does to soothe itself and to help deal with that inflammation in the cardiovascular system is to lay down plaque. And this is one of the reasons why we develop plaque in our vessels, is to soothe that inflammation. So, you know, the humor has the anti-inflammatory response, which, you know, will hopefully help deal with the amount of plaque we lay down. But also we found that it dealt with the elasticity of the vessels themselves. And if our vessels are more elastic, then we have less problems with high blood pressure, stroke, and other kinds of harmful, detrimental things that could even occur with cardiovascular disease. And so now this series is growing and growing. There will be further books on What's So Funny About Cancer, What's So Funny About Alzheimer's, What's So Funny About Parkinson's, as well as occupational groups. I had a request to write What's So Funny About OR Nursing, and we just finished that. It's up on the web, up on Amazon about a month ago. What's So Funny About School Nursing, What's So Funny About Nursing is coming up. That'll be available on Amazon the 1st of May for those who are healthcare professionals. And then even in business, What's So Funny About Leadership and relationships. You know, I'm married to the guy that literally wrote the book on romance, Greg Kozak, and 1001 Ways to Be Romantic. So we're collaborating on how humor can help your relationships as well. So very exciting things going along there. But
well, this is fantastic.
It is.
And all of these books are available at your website, and they're also available on Amazon, right?
Correct.
Wonderful. And it's What's So Funny About Heart Disease, A Creative Approach to Coping with Your Condition, and Celebrating Your Profession, Coping with Your Disease. These books will be just fantastic for everyone who has some kind of a disease that their family, I think this is something the entire family can benefit from, don't you agree?
Absolutely. Again, even if you're not the one who has heart disease, what we lay out in the book is ways that you can help those that you love who have heart disease, because maybe they're not feeling so jovial right now. Maybe they're feeling depressed. Maybe they might not be the one who would be the one to at first pick up this book. But the book just became available. We had a private edition available for a year for a client, but now just this week has become available on Amazon. So I'm hoping that this will really be of benefit to those out there who, again, there's so many people who are dealing with this, whether it's themselves or their family members. And so, again, my goal is to improve global health through laughter and heal the humor impaired.
You know, also, let's make sure we put a plug in. AATH will be having their conference this week in San Diego. It starts on the 4th. And if you get a chance, stop by. Karen will be there. And so many wonderful, wonderful health professionals and humorists celebrating humor. Karen, let me ask you, have you used humor in your own life to get through some tough times?
You know, this is something where I had the opportunity to walk the talk. Mm-hmm. And it actually, over a seven-year period of what I call icky, you know, where you look and you think, is it ever going to get any better than this? You know, I had a son who dealt with cancer when he was in college for a couple of years. I had another son who had a mysterious illness who, it was so bizarre, never diagnosed, never successfully treated, earned him a spot on the CBS News show 48 Hours, Medical Mysteries. And it's mysteriously disappeared, fortunately. Mm-hmm. And a mother with Alzheimer's and a relationship that ended in divorce. These were among some of the early educational opportunities that I had to learn about where humor comes from and how to apply it successfully and some of the landmines to avoid. You know, there were times where I used it where maybe it wasn't the best idea or so beneficial. But going through this time process, I learned so much and learned firsthand that, you know, the stuff that you're teaching your clients, it really does work. I mean, there was a point where I was a little fearful that I was going to have to call all of my past clients up and go, you know, that stuff I was telling you about, you weren't, forget it. It's just a load of crap, you know. But fortunately, it was like, wow, this stuff, it really does work. It really, really does work. And that's when I learned the power of being intentional about it, because up until that point, even I was one to more or less tend to let humor come into my life as it would, because a lot of funny things happen in my life. But what I learned was, you know, we just can't take the chance that it will occur in a day. We have to increase the likelihood or make it happen. So, you know, and that's why some people they get a little leery when we say, oh, well, you should use more humor. And then they say, but I'm not funny. I'm not funny. But, you know, what about me? Can you help me be funny? And the good news is people don't need to be funny to use humor. As a matter of fact, when I talk to leaders in this country, you know, a lot of times they're very concerned about whether or not they'll be taken seriously if they come across as funny. And what I try to explain to people is you can be a humor appreciator. You don't have to be a humor initiator. You don't have to be funny. It's about your perception. It's about your filter. Can you see funny? It's more important to see funny than be funny. And if you can go through the day looking for humor. I learned a really valuable lesson from my friend Leslie Gibson, who's a nurse down in Florida, who shared one time that she had a patient who, because she was taking care of him, home health patient, wanted to give her a gift. And this is something that occurs in the field often, that people are so grateful for what you're doing for them that they want to gift you. And she said, I can't accept a gift, but I love humor. And if you would, the next time I come next week, share with me something funny, I would so appreciate it. And so she changed that patient's life, because for the next week, he was now proactively seeking humor. He was looking for things. And what he found was that there was a lot of humor in his life that he was overlooking. And not only was he able to give her a gift of a funny story, but the whole attitude, the whole ambiance of his last week changed because of his attitude of looking and being proactive. And this is what I really aspire to share with other people, that if you look for humor, you'll find it. If you assume it's not there, you'll be right. But if you assume it's there, you'll be right. And if you're not a funny person, if you fall in that category of what I lovingly call humor impaired, those who appreciate mm-hmm. humor but they just don't get it, mm-hmm. seek humor from other people. Ask somebody what's a funny story, what's your favorite joke, what's your most embarrassing moment, what's something mm-hmm. funny your grandchild said, what's your favorite sitcom. And if you seek it from others, two things will happen. People will either perceive you, they'll perceive you as having a sense of humor because you were seeking it, and now mm-hmm. you're starting to collect your own repertoire of material, which you can proactively share with others.
Oh, fabulous advice. So much humor in our lives comes from pain, and sometimes humor can be edgy and dangerous. But I think we have to overlook that and rise above it, because the humor that comes from pain many, many times is the healing humor. Don't you agree?
Absolutely. And a lot of people don't really think about this, but if you pause mm-hmm. and think about it for a moment, what are we laughing about, January? We're not laughing about the fact that we're having a great hair day or we have more money than we can spend. We're laughing yeah. about the things that make us crazy. Uh-huh. And it's those things where we find the humor, because it's painful, but we've emotionally detached from it. And so it's, you know, sometimes that process happens immediately. Sometimes it takes time. But if you ever find yourself saying, oh, someday I'm going to laugh about this, well, maybe you could shorten that time frame just a little bit, because that's where some of our best humor comes from.
It is so true. And, you know, and I always think about it whenever I go to memorial service for someone. When we get there, we're also very sad, but we always end up sharing the day, remembering humorous, wonderful things about the person who passed. And that's what life is all about, is those special moments that you can keep and cherish forever. Karen, I will keep and cherish forever this wonderful interview with you. I hope you have a fabulous time at AATH in San Diego. I will miss being there, but I promise I'll be there next year for sure.
You will be missed. And for those who can't attend this year, be sure to check out the website, aath.org, because you can get details on how to attend next year. There's many scholarships available for those who have financial difficulties. There's mm-hmm. opportunities. It's a wonderful, wonderful place, and you will find people that will be friends for life. And you will be missed, but we will look forward to seeing you next year.
Oh, thank you. To my listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our show today, and be sure to catch our interviews with amazing guests like Karen with constant streaming at blogtalkradio.com. My upcoming guests for the rest of this week are all amazing, amusing, and they will astonish you. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too. If you've enjoyed this show, please click the follow tab under my picture. I would love to welcome you to our wonderful No Whining world. We love sharing our stories and secrets for success. It's our hope we can encourage our listeners to emulate our guests today and every day. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, dear listeners, I want all of you to stop whining right now and start smiling and start sharing our show with everyone you know. And if that doesn't work, then start eating chocolate, lots and lots of chocolate. Again, thank you to my wonderful humorous guest, Karen Buxman. And remember to check out aath.org. This is January Jones thanking you for joining me today on my journey and reminding you to take care and stay safe.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Story. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. You are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity, plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.
Never.